This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I testify that there is none worthy of our worship and devotion but the Almighty Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you should be feared and die not except as Muslims in a state of submission and surrender to your Lord. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person and from him he created his wife. And from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights and observe the rights of your kin. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you, O you who believe. Keep your duty to Allah. Fear him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the divine words of the Almighty Allah. And the best guidance is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters, for all the newly invented matters in religion are innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, qala alayhi salatu wa salam, ma min 'abdin yastar'ihi Allahu ra'iyatan yamutu yawma yamutu wa huwa ghashun lahum illa harrama Allahu alayhi al-jannah. Every person to whom Allah entrusted some dependents or some subordinates to, and the moment this person, death comes to this person, the moment they leave this world, if they leave this world in a state where they have not fulfilled their responsibility to those under their command, those under their charge, under their authority, except that they would never find the smell of Jannah. Meaning they will never enter Jannah. Allah will not allow them into Jannah. In another authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun 'an ra'iyatihi." فالرجل راعٍ في بيته وهو مسؤول عن رعيته والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها وهي مسؤولة عن رعيتها كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. Each one of you is in a position of responsibility, accountability. And they will be questioned. They will have to answer for that responsibility and that authority. The man in the house is in charge, and he will be questioned about his responsibility. The woman in her household is in charge, and she will be questioned about her responsibility. Everyone is in a position of responsibility, and they will be asked about it, meaning they will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment for that responsibility. So their dependents have rights upon them that they have to fulfill. His authority comes with accountability. Power, influence comes with more responsibility and more questions by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how it works in Islam. And why are we talking about this today? Because it's easy. In the thick of the events that are happening, in the pain that is caused by the atrocities and the violations to human life, basic human needs, obvious human dignity that is violated in the most atrocious and most vicious and most violent and most satanic ways. And yet, you can see that there is a lot of justification around for that. There's a lot of political sugarcoating. And there are people who still defend evil, destruction, death, and crime. Yes, and we are appalled by that. And every sensible human being should be appalled by that. But in the midst of this, we should not forget that strategy cannot be pushed away by tactics or impulse. A strategy that is built over time and synchronized at so many levels, it cannot be resisted with impulse and some kind of immediate action. This is a rule of life. And if you look at Islam itself, Islam contains so many strategies. Islam itself is a long-term strategy. And it is an all-encompassing strategy in the sense that it makes you, if you follow its creed, its tenets, its beliefs, its values, its commands, its prescriptions, its lifestyle, it will position you strategically against any opposing way of life that is based on evil and destruction. And it's only when Muslims fail to hold on to that trust that was given to them by Allah, only then are the strategies and other ways of life are able to inflict harm and wreak havoc. This is a fact that we should never grow heedless of, regardless of our pain, regardless of the wrongs and the mistakes and the crimes of people who don't truly believe in Allah, people who embrace evil as a way of life. We should not forget that any kind of conflict and any kind of competition in life, that it is multifaceted. There are so many fronts. And when a front is set on fire, we should never grow heedless of the list of the fronts. And this is how many civilizations were wiped out. Many armies were defeated. When their attention is completely captured on one front, and that works or is used sometimes and utilized as a distraction to create a lot of loopholes where they can be destroyed and they can be hit really hard. I want to draw the attention of parents as we see the children of Gaza are being slaughtered as if their life holds no value whatsoever. And justification is done by the political elites in the most despicable fashions and the most exposed, at the one of the most exposed moments in history. We find justification for crime, for violation of human rights, for violation of humanity, and violation of all the global and international commitments and agreements. We have to realize that the destruction that is leveled at the Muslims and their faith and their iman and their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encroaching from so many different levels. And our attention should not be fully consumed by where there is a lot of action. And as the Arabs say, min ma'manihi yu'ta al-hadr. A cautious person is usually bitten from where they feel they are most safe. As the children of Gaza are being killed without mercy, without concern, because those who are bombarding them see them as legitimate targets. Yes, they know that birth rate, they know that a greater population is one of the greatest sources of power, and it alters the scales of power. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. Fir'aun himself knew that. And Allah said, يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. When Fir'aun felt the threat from Bani Israel, the children of Israel, what did he do? He killed their infants, their newly born children. He knew that. And the strategy continues until today and until the Day of Judgment. Those who worship the shaitan and those who have submitted their lives and their heart to shaitan, they will do what shaitan tells them to do. They will commit the unthinkable and the unspeakable. They will do it without their eyes blinking. They have no concern. It's a way of life. It's a strategy. It's a worldview for them. So when the children of Gaza are being massacred, we have to realize that death is not only the death of the body. There is death that is targeted at our children at the spiritual level. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. Fitna, the fitna of confusion, confusing people about the truth, confusing people about the reality of this life, bringing about doubt into the hearts of people. Allah says, fitna, this fitna is greater than murder. Yes. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ مَوْتَ الْقَلْبِ أَشَدُّ مِنْ مَوْتِ الْبَدَنِ. For the death of the heart is greater and more serious than the death of the body. فَإِنَّ مَوْتَ الْبَدَنِ يَقْطَعُ الْمَرْأَ عَنِ الدُّنْيَا. وَمَوْتُ الْقَلْبِ يَقْطَعُ الْمَرْأَ عَنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. For the death of the body cuts you off from this worldly life, whereas the death of the heart cuts you off from Allah. That's why الْفِتْنَةُ أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. This fitna, confusion, doubt, spoiling people's religions and their faith, this is greater than murder. It doesn't seem as vicious, but it's more destructive. And this is something that we can do something about. There is very little that we can do to save the people of Gaza momentarily now, other than what most people are doing. We don't have the political power as much as we would like to, in order to save lives of innocent people from every walk of life. In Islam, the innocent life belongs to Allah. Humans cannot violate it, regardless of the religion, regardless of the race, or any other consideration. Life belongs to Allah. Humans have no right to violate it. For those who think that Muslims don't hold any value for life except for Muslim life, that's not true. And those who fish in murky waters. In Islam, the human life is sanctified because humans have a right to be in this test of this life. Only Allah gives life and takes life. And murder is one of the greatest crimes in Islam. Regardless whatever banner or title or label you put in it. Even if you give it a good name, some Muslims give murder a good name, but it's still evil. Just as like the politicians today put a good label, a beautiful label on the murder of innocent people. Islam doesn't approve of that, whether it's done by Muslims or non-Muslims. But there is something we can do. Because there is a lot of attack on the hearts of the younger generation. Things that cause them confusion about this life and what it means. About Allah. About the truth of Islam. And about how to live in this life and how to be. And about their morality and their moral conduct. And that bombardment is no less than the massacres that are taking place in Gaza. And we have to own up to our responsibility as parents and educators. What your children consume, what they are exposed to on social media, in the video games that brainwash them, and what they learn in different institutions around, the ideological stuff that is being fed to them from a young age, from the tender age of being even a toddler. And we ourselves hand our children to those who indoctrinate them and confuse them. Aren't we going to be questioned about that by Allah? Why are we only concerned about this worldly life and being alive here when the hearts of our children, of our future generation, are under flagrant attack, and we know it and we see it? And most of us think there is very little that we can do because we're not owning up to our responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. All you who believe, protect yourselves, shield yourselves and your family, your dependents, the ones under your responsibility, shield them from a fire whose fuel is rocks, stones, and human beings. Do you have an answer to Allah about your children? Have you fulfilled? That's the question that you should ask yourself squarely, face to face. When Allah makes me stand on the Day of Judgment, holds me accountable, asks me about my children and the fitna and the confusion that is bombarded at them, do I have any hand in it? Have I facilitated any of it? Was there any choice that I had that I could exercise, even at hardship and difficulty and inconvenience, that I ran away from and turned a blind eye to? Will I have a convincing answer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will save my neck from the hellfire? That's a question that you should ask yourself. Because I tell you, those who massacre the children and the innocent women and men, that's what they fear the most. And they know it. The onslaught is on the hearts. Because when Muslims, the hearts are corrupted, the Prophet ﷺ even pointed out what this state is. He said that people will gather upon you against you and will devour you as they eat from a platter of food, from a feast. You become so approachable. You're within reach. You're easy to be eaten and to be preyed upon. No resistance, just like food is available to someone who's hungry and it's right within his reach. So the companions asked, O Messenger of Allah, أَوَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Will that be because we will be few in number? Because that's what the human mind jumps to. We're outnumbered. Is that why we are such an easy prey? Such an easy, like sitting ducks? The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. You will be like the scum on the surface of a stream or a river. The scum, the filth, has no weight and has no control. The stream carries it wherever it goes. وَلَا يَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ قُلُوبِ عَدُوِّكُمُ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَا يَقْذِفَنَّ فِي قُلُوبِكُمُ الْوَهْنِ. Allah shall remove from the hearts of those who have enmity towards you. Allah shall remove from their hearts any fear of you. Allah will remove from their hearts every fear of you. No deterrent. You don't pose any kind of resistance or threat or anything. وَلَا يَقْذِفَنَّ فِي قُلُوبِكُمُ الْوَهْنِ. And Allah shall cast into your hearts الْوَهْنِ. And الْوَهْنِ is weakness. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا الْوَهْنُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. What is wahn, O Messenger of Allah? He said, love of this dunya. Infatuation with this dunya, attachment to this worldly life, to the treasures, to the fame, to the riches, to the enjoyments, to the entertainment, to the reputation, to the clothing, to the food, to the delicacies, to the vacations, to the attractions of this worldly life. You become so obsessed with it, you worship it. That's weakness in your heart, corruption in your heart. And you would hate death. You would abhor death. The notion of death threatens to take away the dunya that you fell in love with. And that's when you are easily taken and preyed upon. That's the corruption of the heart. And you know what? There is so much that we can do. There is so much that we can do about that before it even happens. And in many cases, it hasn't happened yet, but it's on the way. And we are the ones who are contributing to it. There are many parents who don't realize that the education of your child, of your son, of your daughter, is upon you. To teach them who Allah is, what this life is really about, who Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is, what they should do with this life. It's your responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the local imam or the Quran teacher. These people are volunteering to help out. You will be asked about them. Don't be deluded by the formalities. You are to be questioned about it. You are to be asked. Allah will ask you about that. Oh, I'm busy. I don't have time. I have to work two jobs. Then think again about your life choices. That's not a healthy lifestyle. When you don't have time to spend with your kids, you yourself are not educating your kids, are not enlightening them, are not reminding them, are not befriending them. That's your responsibility. Oh, the mother will do that. That will not absolve you of the responsibility. It's still your obligation. And there is a powerful machine that is funded by billions of dollars for ideologies to corrupt the hearts of the younger generation. And you think with some wishful thinking and taking some chances, that you will be able to survive and your kids will come out of all of this contamination and all of this indoctrination, that they will come out of it safe somehow? قولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. Yes, this is not a popular topic and it doesn't give you a hype. On the contrary, it's bitter and sour and it's painful and it's uncomfortable and it's inconvenient. I get that. But it's easy to ride any popular wave. But we should not forget the responsibilities. This life is not about entertainment. The truth is not necessarily entertaining. Sometimes you have to look yourself in the face and you have to say the bitter truth and embrace it. Because as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, حُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ وَحُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. That Jannah was surrounded, was covered from us with what? With hardships, with challenges, with things that are not necessarily popular and agreeable. And the hellfire has been surrounded by attractions, temptations. Don't fall for the face value of things. When we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the best strategy. And yes, we have a public responsibility, but we also have a private responsibility to fix our own hearts, to maintain our own hearts, strengthen our relationship with the Book of Allah, with the Quran, with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Teach ourselves Islam day in and day out. Then teach our family, implement it, live it, live by it. Live by the instructions of Islam, the beautiful morality of Islam. Live by it. Day in and day out until you become better at it every day. That's how it works. And then you educate your family and the people around you. Islam is about goodness. It's about benevolence. It's about loving Allah. It's about the truth. And as Muslims, we have a responsibility to share the good. Share the good with others. Islam teaches us that we want good for us. We wish that all of humanity is saved from the hellfire and they make it to paradise. And that's our wish. And that's the trust that Allah gave us. And we are supposed to fulfill. But you know what? We just grow so busy or too busy with ourselves. And we say, to hell with others. We don't care. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. We have made you an exemplary, a model for other peoples. So you guide them. And the Prophet ﷺ is a model for you. We have a responsibility. And it's not about preaching. The truth, when it stands, when it's manifested in you, it shows. It awakens people's fitrah. It attracts their hearts. It awakens the most beautiful part of who they are, the truth in them. It awakens that. But you know what? When people, for the most part, see Muslims, and again, for the most part, there are, alhamdulillah, there are good people around. But for the most part, when they see Muslims, they don't see much difference. Especially when it comes to personal conduct. They don't see much difference. So we act as a screen between them and the truth of Islam. That's a personal responsibility and a public responsibility. Our life should abide by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs. That's the only way out. That's the only way out for everyone. And obviously, the beautiful solidarity that the Muslims and some of the good non-Muslims who have good hearts and have something alive in them still, the solidarity they show to the victims in Palestine, in Gaza, and those who are able to speak the truth in public and have some kind of influence, and show the tyrants and the liars and the people of deception, put them in the right place. These are still good things. We cherish them, we celebrate them, and we appreciate them. But that should not make us feel that we are delivered, or that we are free from the responsibility that Allah put upon ourselves. See deeper than what is happening in front of your eyes. There is more. And remember, a strategy can never be defeated by impulse. A very well-devised strategy requires a more powerful, a more wiser strategy. That's the only thing that will undo it. And the work of shaitan is so orchestrated and organized. And the work of the believers, in order to undo the work of shaitan, we need to act with purpose, we need to act with vision, we need to act with balance. And it's not like when atrocities happen, we wake up and then we go to sleep. Then we wait for the next atrocity to wake up and then we go to sleep. That's not how we are supposed to work. Being good, being a devout servant of Allah is not a part-time job. That's what your life is about. And this is what life is about. And it's all about goodness, and it's about sharing what's good and the truth and what's wise, and wanting the best for everyone. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina. وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم كن للمستضعفين من المؤمنين في كل مكان اللهم كن للمسلمين في غزة وفي فلسطين اللهم كن لهم ناصرا ومعينا اللهم انصرهم بنصرك اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك اللهم عليك بأعدائك وأعدائهم اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم لا تذر منهم على الأرض ديارة اللهم لا تذر على الأرض منهم ديارة اللهم اجعلهم عبرة لعبادك اللهم اجعلهم عبرة لعبادك اللهم أرنا فيهم آياتك يا جبار يا عزيز اللهم أعلي راية الحق والدين اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويعمل فيه بكتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.